Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of the Ocean View Podcast. No matter where you're at in our country or around the world, we thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Now sit back and enjoy this week's message.
Do you remember that one Christmas we made cookies and the dog ate them all?
Remember that one Christmas when we went sledding on Grandpa's farm?
Remember how on Christmas our dad used to have to wake us up to go check the stockings?
Do you remember that Christmas when the baby was just 5 days old?
When all the family's together.
Do you remember that one Christmas we went on a road trip and the only place open was Waffle House?
Do you remember that Christmas when we all went Christmas caroling?
Getting up Christmas morning and just feeling the excitement.
We opened presents.
Do you remember that one Christmas where we went around and looked at Christmas lights?
Getting presents.
Do you remember that Christmas when my sister and brother-in-law were being a Scrooge and didn't want to decorate their house? So we went over and put about 175 plastic candy canes throughout their whole front yard.
I remember that one Christmas we flew across the country to go see our grandparents.
Do you remember the story of that one Christmas where baby Jesus was born?
Do you remember that one Christmas?
Good morning, everybody. Everybody has that one Christmas. And as you watched that bumper video and you thought about it, you reflected back to probably some memories that brought smiles to your face, that brought laughter to your heart. Or for some of us, maybe a more recent Christmas is that one Christmas where we don't like to remember it very much. It's maybe difficult. It's painful for us. But no matter who you are, whether you're watching online in the balcony or on the floor, we all have that one Christmas. And that's the title of our message series this month, is we're taking a look at that one Christmas. But more importantly, we're looking at that one Christmas so long ago that changed history. And we're trying to find some practical tips and tools that apply to our lives today that can maybe enhance our one Christmas or possibly create more one Christmases. And today we're going to focus on specifically maybe the gifts that we give or receive at Christmas time. I remember that one Christmas where my three-year-old, Connor, at that time, he had a favorite gift that he desired to receive under the tree that one Christmas. It was called Mickey's Choo Choo Express. I've shared this in the past before. I'm sorry, it's an amazing memory. But I remember watching him when Mickey Mouse Clubhouse would come on, he would go berserk. And all of a sudden, and I got to tell you, it impressed me as a 40-year-old adult. Mickey's Choo-Choo Express was no joke. And let me tell you, describe this toy. The toy is a train that moved on its own, but it had two plastic tracks within it. What would happen is it would shoot one track in front of it, and it would stay on the rail. And while it was traversing the track, another track would come out and spit out in front of it, connect, and it would continue. So it made the tracks in front of the train. It was incredible. Yes, I sound excited because I wanted one too. But my three-year-old really loved it, and that's all he wanted. Every Daddy, Mickey's choo-choo, Daddy, Mickey's choo-choo. So I knew around, you know, the 1st of December that I needed to go and find this gift. So I remember telling my wife, I got the perfect gift, and she agreed, and so I went to the Disney store when we were down in Florida. And as I walked up to the counter, I remember going in, and you ever see that movie Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger with Turbo Man? You ever see that scene? Well, that was what happened to me, because I walk up to the Disney counter, and you know, it's where, you know, dreams come true. And I walked up and I said, sir, I said, you know, it's December 1st. I need to purchase a Mickey's Choo-Choo Express. And the gentleman, true story, looked at me and went, Mickey's Choo-Choo Express. And I said, yes, do you have a problem? And he said, no, he goes, sir, he goes, you're not going to find a Mickey's Choo-Choo Express. He said, we're sold out. There is none. I mean, it is the hottest selling toy. And I go, yes, it's December 1st. And he said, it's December 1st. We sold out 2 weeks ago, sir. You got to get ahead of the game. And so I looked at him and called him a jerk. No, I thought that. I didn't say it. But then I said, surely there's got to be a way. Is it online? Is there another store? I mean, can we ship it? Can we go store to store? I mean, come on. Mickey's supposed to make dreams come true. And he said, well, sir, he goes, I'm sorry. You're not going to find it. And I can promise you there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people looking for this one toy. You're not going to find it. So I went home and, you know, just saying I'm going to find it. And I did. I found it at eBay. And the manufactured retail suggested price was $39.99. On eBay, it was going for $1,500. Talk about Mickey's highway robbery is what that was. So I looked at my wife, and I don't know if you know this, but I'm in ministry, and so I said, we're not going to be able to afford the $1,500 gift for our child, so we're going to have to find something else. So we went out, and we bought a bunch of other toys, but if you're a parent in this room, you know it, right? You know the Christmas that you get the toy that you know your child wants, and that was a Christmas that I didn't have it. And I remember going Christmas Eve over to Jennifer's parents' house, and we usually do Christmas Eve over there, and I remember sitting there, and all of a sudden, I got a phone call, and it was from a former student that I taught long ago as a public school teacher. And I picked up the phone, and her name is Carla, and I said, hey, Carla, and she said, Mr. Scalzetti. She goes, I know from Facebook long ago that you posted you really wanted a Mickey's Choo Choo Express. And I go, yes. And she says, well, you know I work at the Disney store. And I go, you do? And she says, and I just received, I'm there now, and someone just returned a Mickey's Choo Choo Express. I go, you're serious? I said, yes, but we're closing in 5 minutes, so you're not gonna be able to make it. But I'll tell you what, I live, and she lives in a city that's real close by me, and she goes, I can meet you in the parking lot. Bring cash. So it sounded a little shady, but isn't it true that you do anything for your kids? So I went ahead. Now, we're about to eat dinner, Christmas Eve dinner. I looked at Jennifer, and I said, Jennifer, I got to go. And she said, what do you mean you got to go? We're about to eat dinner. I said, you start without me. I got to go. So I went. I jumped in my car. I raced over to that city. I sat in that parking lot. I got to be honest. I sat there, and I thought to myself, I looked for, like, FBI agents and SWAT teams. I really did. I thought, I'm doing something shady here. So all of a sudden, I get up, and I see my former student. She gets out of her car. She's holding a paper bag. And I'm like, this is sketchy. But I go over to her, and she goes, here you go. You got the cash? And I said, yeah, I got the cash. So I'm exchanging money, and I'm feeling dirty about it. But I open it up, and sure enough, there was Mickey's Choo Choo Express. The next morning, when my child opened it up, I was so overjoyed to be able to, I mean, my child was so overjoyed to be able to see his gift. But I'll never forget that one Christmas. I saw the emotion, because even a three-year-old at that moment saw the gift, connected with the gift, but more importantly, connected with the parents behind the gift and knew that the parents knew exactly what he wanted. And isn't that amazing what gift giving is about? It's more than just a transaction. There's a heart behind it. There's thought process behind it. And I want to pause for just a moment. I just want to say thank you to our church, because, you know, sometimes we're always thinking about our families and ourselves, but isn't it true, the holidays, sometimes we're challenged as believers in Christ and followers of Jesus to think outside of ourselves. And our church, we have a partnership with Myrtle Beach Primary and Myrtle Beach Elementary. And they reached out to us and they said, you know, Terry, we have a lot of families that don't have the means to provide Mickey Choo Choo Express for their kids. And so could the church partner with us and help many families to be able to do that? So we reached out to several families within our church, and so proud that our church adopted 36 families from both those schools. And more importantly, and that's awesome, that's incredible, and they went out and shopped the list for the kids, and they bought presents for the kids, so they're going to have an incredible Christmas. But one thing that's really, really resonated with me is we had 14 children adopted by our student ministry. And our students met last Saturday, and they all excitingly took lists of children and ran around, and they thought outside of themselves, and they purchased with their money gifts for other children so they can have an incredible Christmas. And that is powerful, especially as a dad of a 15-year-old, when I think back to when they were three, and now they're providing the same Christmas. Gifts matter in many different ways. But I got to be honest with you, the Christmas story is a little weird, okay? If you're not a Christian, you can tune in with me a little bit, okay? And you know, when you go to houses and you look at manger scenes and you see the three wise men, and there isn't it true that every manger scene has different wise men? They look differently. And when they're there, you know, they have the three gifts, right? They have gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And if you're like me, I'm a practical guy, I look at it and I say, gold, I get it, okay? Gold's a pretty cool gift. I don't care who you are, right? That's like gold, that's an awesome gift. But let's be honest, when we get to frankincense and myrrh, we're like, really? Like, that's what you're going to give Jesus? I mean, frankincense and myrrh, I don't even know what that is. And, you know, it smells funny. And, I mean, what is Mary going to do with frankincense and myrrh? I mean, think about it. I mean, because gift is not just symbolism, but isn't it true that we give gifts that individuals need or want? And so I'm thinking of baby Jesus. They gave the gifts to baby Jesus. They didn't give him a diaper genie. They didn't give him a changing table. They gave him frankincense and myrrh. Why? And before you get mad at me for ruining your Christmas story, we're going to find out together that there's a really good reason why they received frankincense and myrrh and gold. And it's far more than what you probably thought. So in order to set this up, let's dive into the Christmas story, Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and let's read it together. Here we go. That's a really beautiful background, but I don't think I'm going to be able to read. There we go. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. Now pause there for a second. If you've been here in previous years, we've taught on King Herod. King Herod actually wasn't Jewish. He held the throne of that area, and he held it for many different reasons. He was a tyrant. He had family members killed because he was worried that they were going to overthrow him. And so he was not someone to be trifled with. And so King Herod is in charge. And in Judea, as in Bethlehem, Jesus was born. And then about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking the following: where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. Now, a couple of things. Let me give you some insight into this. It's fascinating. The wise men came to Herod, and they assumed Herod knew what they were talking about. And the reason why is because they saw a star. And if you don't know this, Josephus actually reports in an oracle during that time, or other writings of history during that time, it was tradition or traditionally thought that when a celestial event occurred, it meant that a ruler, someone that is going to take governorship over an area, was either born or taking root. And so the wise men, they come, they go to Herod, hey, you must be related to this person. You must have had a baby because the new ruler has been born. Where is he? And you can imagine what Herod's response was. What are you talking about? Which now you know the rest of the story, why he said, hey, tell me where this child is so that I may come worship him too. And we know that Herod wanted all the baby boys to be killed so that he wouldn't give up his throne. Now, that's another story. But these three wise men, you can take a look at the screen. This is what they would have looked like during that time. They were known as Zoroastrian priests. They were known as keepers of the fire. They knew all plant life. They knew all astrology. People came to them in Persia. That's probably where they came from, was in Persia. They were a part of the priestly caste system. So they were a class within the society of Persia. And they were known as Zoroastrian priests. So anytime something happened, people came to them and said, what is this about? And they were very, very knowledgeable. Now you might say to me, Terry, this doesn't make sense. So they see a star. What makes them think that this is about Jesus or anything else? Well, a couple things. Kepler actually tells us in our history books that around that time, because some of us in this room, we think, well, Terry, what could that a celestial event been? Well, if you're a science major and you have to make it fit, and I would say this to you. I don't know if you know this, but God created the universe. And so for me, God could have easily taken a star and put it in the sky over Bethlehem. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. It doesn't have to make sense. He's supernatural. He could, in the moment, go bing and put a star. Now, if you don't like that and you don't want to believe that and it has to make sense, fine. Because Kepler writes there's a few other events that were happening that could be the reason to catch the eyes of the Zoroastrian priests. One is that's popular, is Halley's Comet around that time would have been close. Many of us don't believe that because the timing doesn't work out okay. Some people say it was a supernova. Again, if you look at history and astrology, that time period doesn't necessarily work out as well either. So you hear a couple of those. Probably more specifically, if it's not God placing the star over, what really probably occurred is at that time, you saw the combination of Jupiter and Saturn aligning. And when they aligned, and actually if you've been a part and you've been alive, I think that happened just recently, when you see it, it creates a big sparkle and it also moves. And so when the stars move and settle over Bethlehem, that could have been what they had seen, and they said there must be a new ruler. And so they leave, they go over to Herod, they ask Herod, they interview Herod. Herod says, hey, go find him. And we continue with the story in verse 9. It says this: after this interview, the wise men went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house. They saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What I thought we would do today is we would actually look into the symbolism of those gifts because it's quite powerful. And so we're going to begin with gold. Did you know this? During that time, gold was worth $600,000 per pound. A pretty good gift, huh? I'd like that gift. But there's more to gold than just that. And let's take a look. Gold at that time was one of the earth's most perfect substances, which we know the purity of gold is incredible, and that's why it continues to hold its weight in money, dollars, even to this day. So you can understand the symbolism. They want to give a precious metal that is pure, which represents the Christ child. Here's another thing that happened. They believed that gold harbored supernatural healing powers. You might sit there and go, oh, that's far-fetched. I mean, why do they believe this? You think it's bad then. Do you know this? In today's day and age, here's a couple of things to remember. Today, gold injections help people with rheumatoid arthritis. You might not have known that. Here's another thing. Gold inhibits enzymes that break down proteins within the body. The bottom line is gold is pure, yes, and the symbolism is that. But gold also was known during that time to have healing properties for individuals. So they give gold, which obviously would give them money, but also it represented something of healing. They could have used it for healing. But Terry, that's an easy one. Tell me about frankincense and myrrh. And this is where if you fell asleep, lean in a little bit because this is interesting, okay? So let's talk about frankincense. Frankincense was worth about $500,000 per pound back during that time. In addition, frankincense is the resin that comes from the wounds in the bark of trees that grow in Northeast Africa and Southern Arabia. So it comes from very specific locations, okay? So it's very, very, very unique to society. So some of you would say, well, that was very nice. They give it to Jesus. Now pause. This is where I go into my practical side. It's like, that's great. It's valuable. But what good does it do for Jesus? And what's the symbolism? Well, let's take a look at this. This is fascinating. Frankincense was considered divine and could only be gathered by special families who refrained from impure acts, i.e., sleepovers during the harvest season. So you get this. During harvest season, there were select families that were the only ones allowed to collect frankincense, and they could not play Barry White at home. If you're younger than the age of 35, ask your parents who Barry White is, and they will tell you who it is, okay? For some of you, Barry Manilow. Okay, there you go. You can have two berries, whatever you want. But the bottom line is that it was pure. And it represented purity. And so around that world, the ancient world, it was known that frankincense, that was unique and very valuable. Okay, Terry, that's great. But what does it have to do for Jesus? We understand gold symbolic, frankincense symbolic. Let's get practical here. Okay, let's get practical. Did you also know this about frankincense? It was thought to cure halitosis and skin infections. And so if some of you would like some frankincense, you could see me later, especially if the guy next to you has a little bit of bad breath. But here's the truth. Remember, the infant mortality rate during this time was very low. All kinds of maladies children would face is very difficult for them to survive. And so all of a sudden, frankincense has some properties. It cures skin infections. That's interesting. Also, it's an antiseptic, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory properties. It has these properties within it. In addition, it's good for dressing and for a bronchial dilator that helps lung infections and asthma. Isn't it interesting that newborn babies, when they're born, many of them, they could have trouble breathing. So you begin to see the wisdom of the wise man to be able to give a gift such as frankincense, to be able to provide for a child, not just symbolically, but also because they wanted some healing properties within it. So, if you don't believe me now, if you're practical in this, well, let's take a look at myrrh. Did you know this? That myrrh was worth $400,000 per pound. Three extraordinary gifts that were given. Myrrh also had this. It was one drop of myrrh could double the price of cheaper perfume. So it was very valuable. In addition, Egyptians used myrrh to embalm royal mummies. In 1922, King Tut's tomb overwhelmed researchers when it was opened. This is fascinating when you read history, when the research archaeologists, when they opened up King Tut's tomb for the very first time, the waft of myrrh that went over them was pungent and so overwhelming to them. It was fragrant, to say the least. We continue on. The ancient world thought it was a cure for diaper rash, baldness, obesity, and also an anesthetic. So I've told Pastor David, and we bought him some myrrh for his, you know, problem that he has. Today, myrrh hopes to accelerate metabolism, lower cholesterol, and body weight. Isn't it interesting that we talk about diaper rash, we talk about skin infections, we talk about these things? Do you start to realize that frankincense and myrrh were not just given by the wise men because it was symbolic or it was valuable? It was also given because they looked at a new mom of a newborn baby that was priceless. And they said, we're going to give you gifts fit for a king, but we're going to give you gifts also to care for the child in case the child has need. Isn't God amazing that God would orchestrate this to happen to make sure that Jesus, the Christ child, had all that it needed? One last thing I would tell you. In a couple weeks, I'm heading to Israel. We just had a meeting today, actually. We're heading to Israel. And one of the stops that we make is at the Garden Tomb. And at the Garden Tomb, they sell what I hold in my hands here today. And this is anointing oil. And in anointing oil, we know this biblically and scripturally, when individuals, when there's illness or when there's fear and anxiety because of an illness, they come together and many times they call the elders to come and pray. And one of the things that we as pastors sometimes do is we take anointing oil and we symbolically anoint the individual and ask as an extension of God's touch upon someone's body. If they're asking for healing, it's that extension of healing that we place upon them, asking God to touch and to heal someone's body. But the fascinating thing about this is, do you know what makes up anointing oil and what most places put in anointing oil? Frankincense and myrrh. And it's used for the health of a body. Three amazing gifts given to a king. And I share that with you, and I'm going to share a little bit more in just a little bit. But gifts matter, and even gifts for the king matter. And I think sometimes we get caught up in the hustle and bustle of Christmas, and we think of the transaction of the gift. All right, let me go on Amazon, let me go here, let me find out what do they like. Okay, let me click, let me order. It's done, I'm off my list, I can continue with my life. And I don't think that's the kind of gifts that really matter at Christmas. I think it's really more about the heart behind it. I think it's more about the thought process behind it and what could be valuable to the other individual and connect me to them. In order to help me with this, I've invited Pastor Aaron Bauer and his lovely wife, Whitney, to the stage to be able to help me. Would you welcome them today, please?
I'll let you walk first.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
Great.
Very good. Thank you so much. I know we have already been through two services, and
I'm going to sit this one out.
No, you're not allowed. But I've asked them here, and if you don't know this couple, what I love about them is they are extremely unique in some ways, but in many ways they are incredible parents who really fight hard to make things special for their kids. And so I've asked them to come today, and I would ask you just the first question out is, can you share maybe some that one Christmas and an example of something that you did as a family to be able to make either the gift or the presents that much more special for the kids?
Yeah, there's probably two instances. You want to talk about you're so much better at things than I am. That's points, by the way.
It was hard for us to think of just like one Christmas because we have so many fun Christmas memories, but one year when our older two kids were at the age where they finally really understood, they were very excited about Christmas. They knew they were getting presents, but they were still too young that we couldn't like secretly surprise them, and they weren't like snooping. So we told them the garage wasn't working, and we bought them a playhouse for the backyard, and it needed to be put together. So Aaron built it in the garage.
Aaron assembled. I assembled a playhouse in the garage.
Assembled.
I don't build.
Yes. That's right.
I assemble.
Sorry.
I follow directions. I use little Allen wrenches.
There you go. Yes.
I borrow neighbors' power tools.
Yes.
If needed.
And forget to give them back.
Sometimes they just sit in the garage. I don't know how to use them. So.
Yes. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yes. So we did that, and they never saw it. And even when we put like cement in the backyard, that was the one time our son Graham said, "Daddy, what are you doing?" And Aaron said he was extending the patio to see what it would be like, and he fell for it. So.
Yeah, he didn't ask any more questions after that. And then Christmas Eve night, we had to like move it to the backyard, so I got my neighbors to help do that. And by help, I mean they lifted it up and carried it out of my garage, and I managed them. Jim is what Pastor Jim is, my neighbor, by the way. So he came over and did that as well, which was great. So that happened. you know, in the dark of night, 11 o'clock at night or so, setting it up out there. And then we, in the morning, we took a string and tied it outside. They had like a clue. They had to like find the string, and then they had to follow it all the way like through around just a bunch of stuff until they got to the backyard where they were able to see it. And that was a lot of fun.
I love that.
To see that, yeah.
I love it's a great example, as we've been talking about it. It's just one extra step. It's one thing to buy the playhouse and to connect it with a child, but I love the fact that you guys even thought through the idea of, you know what, how can we make it more special and memorable? So let's go ahead and put a clue and a string and have them go on an adventure hunt to be able to find it. And I know that's memorable for you, but also probably memorable for them as well.
Yeah, we did that recently. It was 2 years ago. We did like a, or maybe it was last year, a year-long pass 2 years ago to the zoo. And like they had like a lot of riddles they had to figure out and solve, and then we gave them like animal ornaments. That was the clue. So then they got a year pass to the zoo, and then we went on a trip and went, you know, several times throughout the year. So they really liked that as well.
Yeah, they still talk about.
Yeah,
that was great.
Can we have another trip for Christmas?
My favorite though is this year because you've done something interesting. If you're a fan on Facebook, you've followed Pastor Aaron. You've seen him as well. You've heard of Elf on the Shelf. And which, you know, we all know that. But there's also Mensch on the Bench for our Jewish friends. True story, during Hanukkah, the Mensch on the Bench, you can buy that. But Pastor Aaron has created a new family fun game that I think we're going to market and sell as Oceanview because I think it's a great thing.
We really should.
It's called Stranger at the Manger.
Yeah.
And why don't you tell them about Stranger at the Manger?
So I really should have sent in pictures, but if you go on Instagram or Facebook, you find me, you'll see them. But basically, I like to post pictures of our ornament. We have like a ton of ornaments on our tree because every year we get like 10 more from family. They just buy us more Disney ornaments or whatever kind of ornaments. And so I like always posting them. So this year I decided, well, rather than just post them on my tree, I'll take them off the tree and I'll set them at the nativity and it'll be Stranger at the Manger. And so like Garfield was the first one. He came by, he was my first like an ornament from when I was a kid, and I set him out, you know, to come visit little baby Jesus. And then SpongeBob came by. Minnie Mouse delivered a pie just the other day. Whitney's absolute favorite is Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars in his big chair, his throne room chair. So he came by the other day as well.
This is either going to be a really amazing tradition and memory for the kids, or theologically, they're going to be messed up for life.
I know, yeah. It's a gamble, but we're playing the cards here.
Right,
we'll see what happens. But, you know, the idea is that, hey, anybody can come worship Jesus at Christmas. Everybody's welcome, even, you know, galactic emperors.
That's very
it's
true.
It's totally fine.
It's a good message. It's a very good message.
Yeah, there's something in that.
Yes. And we only got a couple of minutes, one of the things that I wanted every couple that we kind of bring up here, I want to be able to share is some memorable Christmases. And let me tease you a little bit because there's a couple, and a couple of them involve, one of them involves a couch, and one of them involves a dumpster. So can you share those stories with us, please?
Yes.
Which one first?
Let's go with the couch. So we went up to, after we have to know something, when we moved, the day we moved to Myrtle Beach from Raleigh, like she was driving the van, she got sideswiped coming into our neighborhood, like a hit and run kind of thing. And we like, that was a great way, like, welcome to Myrtle Beach. Okay,
and so cool. If you are watching or you're here, we know who you are.
Yeah.
We're waiting for
I
you
know.
To come apologize.
I got the license plate and everything, but they did nothing. It's all right. It's fine. Yeah. So we got it all fixed. And then literally just a few months later, we went up to Raleigh to visit my parents the day after Christmas. And on our way back, we were driving, it was past Chadburn. There's like this long stretch of nothing. And it's completely pitch black, and there were no other cars on the road. And then I'm driving this way, and then like a truck, like a pickup truck drives by, and then right behind the pickup truck is a couch, like on the road, but it's not still. The couch is moving. The couch like has apparently fallen off of this truck and is now sliding across the road. I don't know how to describe it. You had to see it. It's just sliding, and it goes, bam, right into the side of the van, bounces off and sits in the middle of the road. The truck has no idea. It doesn't stop. It just keeps going. Has no idea that the couch that it was pulling is gone. And so I stop the car after screaming words, and I'm like, I don't even know what just happened, right? So I'm still, and finally, a few minutes later, a car comes up and pulls up behind us. And they're like, "What? Why are you stopped? Like, what's that?" I said, "Well, there's a couch in the road. It just hit us. Like, the couch hit us." And they're like, it's not your couch. I said, no, it's not my couch. It hit me on the side of the van and then bounced. And so then now three cars are behind that car. And the most miraculous thing happens. These people, they just get out of the car. They all talk for like literally 2 seconds. They scoop up the couch with their hands. They carry it and throw it in the ditch on the side of the road. And that's where the couch left. And now our van is forever marked. So every time we see, she loves it. She loves seeing that big gash on the side of our van from 5 years ago that we never got fixed. But
I mean, you could have at least asked them to put the couch in your van. You know, I mean,
yeah, I don't want that thing.
You know,
no thanks.
A collectible.
So that was one fun Christmas that then, we get to be reminded of every day.
It's great. Yes.
Yeah.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Every day.
Yes.
And but then the dumpster.
Yes, tell me about
okay,
the dumpster.
You should probably tell that.
So the dumpster story is also including my lovely parents. And my dad is very kind and generous, and he would do anything, especially for my mom and his family. So there's, let's just say that. And one year, before we had kids, maybe we had kids.
Maybe we had one kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Aaron and I asked for some decorations for our wall at
you
our
asked.
House.
I didn't care.
Do you need to talk about this?
This is now
we moved on. It's fine. We're still together. It's all right.
So when we opened them on Christmas, one of them was cracked in half. So my mom said, well, that won't do. So we need to return it. And she was... she couldn't find the receipt, and she was very certain she had accidentally thrown it away with the box. And the box was in the apartment complex recycling dumpster.
Yeah.
So instead of saying, oh, well...
Then, she said, oh, instead of saying, like, oh, well, the receipt is gone, it was, well, Randy, you need to go jump in the dumpster and get the receipt out. And this tells you the kind of guy Randy is. He's like, okay. And so he just goes to jump in the dumpster. And we did not go with him. Like, we were just like, okay, bye. We're going to continue celebrating Christmas here and eating. And so he tells us this after he comes back. So he finally, he's gone for a while. He comes back, and he has the receipt. So that's great. But he says while he was in the dumpster, like in it, he hears beep, 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 beep. And so the truck is coming to, like, pick up the dumpster. And he's trying to, like, get out of it, but he's building, like, out of cardboard, empty cardboard boxes. He's trying to build a staircase to get out of the dumpster in a very quicker... He made it out unscathed. But had he not, we would never have known.
That's right. And your kids would have said, do you remember that one Christmas where we lost Grandpa?
Yeah.
That would have been bad.
But he had also gone dumpster diving when Whitney was a little kid. For
so this is a family tradition.
Yes, he went to find a tiny Barbie hairbrush that I couldn't live without when I was little.
So the question is always, will Randy end up in a dumpster this year? That's that's the question.
That's great. I love that. I love that. We only have a few seconds left here, but I know one of the things that we've been talking about this morning is obviously the value of gifts, you know, with our kids and as we could do. So do you have any word, Aaron, I would say, or Whitney, do you have anything that you would share about how it shapes, like, some of the traditions you do now? I know that you have one tradition as a family, and why that is special and what you hope to have your kids grow up with memories.
So here's the thing about us and traditions is that, like, my family tries to have traditions, but they change them every other year. So there's not in a bad way. We just like, hey, let's try something new. And so that's how kind of I grew up, and you grew up kind of opposite.
Lots of traditions.
Right. And so we kind of land somewhere in the middle, but we're in this phase now where our kids are kind of deciding our traditions for us, you know? So that's kind of fun. So it's never the same. So you talk about, like, that one Christmas, you probably say, well, they don't have one. They have a lot. Yeah, because each one is different, and we try to make it different and special. And my son is 8. I have 8, 6, and 3. Those are our kids' ages. And so when you think of him being 8, okay, well, he has, like, 10 more Christmases, like, at home before he, like, goes to college or anything like that. So as they get older, it's like, how do I make this one memorable? How do I make this Christmas that one Christmas for him, right? And each one has an opportunity to be that one Christmas. And so I think for us, rather than being okay hanging on to, like, one really hardcore tradition. I mean, we have a couple, but there's nothing that we're like solely anchored to. Even like we joke about, we did this first, we told this, and Emmy was watching. Emmy's my 3-year-old. And this year she's broken like 4 big things that are like heirlooms stuff. We have a Santa Claus that's been in my family for like 100 years, and she decapitated it in 4 seconds. Like, it was like
accident.
It was an accident. Yeah. And that's like she's not like doing it on purpose. But and then she shattered a snow globe, like it just exploded. I don't know if you've ever done that. Don't. It's horrifying. But all that to say, like I think we're just okay with traditions changing. We're okay with each one being unique. And when you look in the perspective of, all right, I only have like 10 more Christmases, like how is each one going to be unique and special? Like you, Connor has 3 left.
Thanks.
Right? You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
But in hindsight, when you think of your Christmases growing up, each one might have a different kind of memory to it. And I think that's just what we're trying to do for our kids, is how do we make this one different or memorable?
And I think in wrapping it up, I think you can hear in some of the stories, it doesn't take much to elevate a Christmas for family members or for kids, and it doesn't have to cost a lot. It can be a small amount to take a gift and really bring the meaning behind it where it's memorable.
Or re-gift it.
Tell them that story. I'm sorry, he just brought it up. He's got to say it. You're going to like this. Tell
all right,
this
we're going to be so fast. We're going to be so fast. You ready? Okay. All right, so a few years ago, she wanted an Apple Watch. That's what she wanted for Christmas, and I was like, well, that is everything for Christmas. You get nothing else. You don't get candy in your stocking or anything. You get nothing, right? And so I was like, we'll see about that. And so I get it for her, but I don't want that to be like the only thing that she has to open on Christmas, right? Like, because that's kind of lame. So she didn't know that I got it for her. And so what I decided to do, instead of buying her other things, because I was like, well, there's no budget for that, I just went around the house and I found stuff she already had but wasn't like using. And like there was a book that was tucked in a drawer that she had never opened. There was like some Bath and Body Works stuff that she had like piled up in the back. And so I just was like, all right, I'm gonna wrap this stuff up so she has more stuff to open. And so it was really fun watching her.
I didn't catch on right away because I was like, oh yeah, I like Bath and Body Works. And
yeah, like,
I guess
he thought
I would like this book.
Yeah, so she's just like thinking all of this. I'm like, yeah, I saw that book. I thought of you. I thought you might like it. I just, looks like something you would like.
Then there was like a necklace, and I was like, I definitely have this necklace.
Yeah. And then she opened her watch, and she was like, oh, thanks. I was like, yeah, all those other gifts you already owned. I just wanted you to have more to open.
Meanwhile, in this room, it's fun. I'm watching all the guys' faces. They're like, that's a brilliant idea. Yes! Money saved this year. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Yeah.
Just wrap up the stuff they already have. They don't remember they have. It's great.
I can think of the families driving away from church today. It's like, so what you learn today out of the message? I'm going to re-gift this Christmas. Awesome. Well, Aaron, Whitney, thank you so much for joining with us today and just sharing some of your stories, but more importantly, sharing just that gift process and how important it could be, or how important re-gifting could be. But don't you appreciate Pastor Aaron and Whitney today?
Thank you.
Our time is limited, so I want to wrap this up because in order to close, it is true that the meaning behind the gifts matter. And there's one last thing I want to share with you from today. The 3 wise men, they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when you think about it, they gave it because it was special. They gave it because it had healing properties to it, and it was symbolic. And as I was thinking about that, isn't it true that that's what Jesus gave us? That Jesus entered this world, and when he died, he brought healing and hope to us. When he sacrificed himself for us, that gave us the healing of mankind. And so if I were to think about what would God call all of us as followers of Jesus in this room, what would he expect of us at Christmas time to do? And I think of the greatest gift that's ever been given is Jesus. And so isn't it true that many of us this Christmas, maybe the expectation that we are as Christians, we are to give the relationship with Christ away because it has healing properties, because it is pure, and because it has value. And so I think one of the things that I'm guilty of the most is at Christmas time, I don't think about that one family member, that one friend, that one work associate that doesn't have this gift. And I don't think to share that gift with that individual. And so this Christmas, I challenge you. I challenge you as a church that, you know, we have inviter cards. And it's more than just inviting someone to church, but it's who is that person that you can think of? And who is that person that you need to share and just be able to say, hey, if you don't have a place to go to church on Christmas Eve, hey, if you don't have a place this Sunday to go to church, or if you never thought about church, let me invite you to hear about the greatest gift that's ever been given. Because if you do that, this could be that one Christmas for them this year. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you, Father, for the Christmas story. I thank you for the symbolism. I thank you, Father, for, Lord, the history and all that it represents. And Lord, I thank you that this year when I look at a manger scene and I see the three wise men, Father, it's special. God, it makes sense. I thank you, Father, that you orchestrated the greatest story ever told. And so, Father, for every family in this room, I pray that this Christmas can be that one Christmas. Allow us insight, Father, to know the extra step to take to make it special. And the reason why we make it special, God, is because you made it special for us. So, God, we tell you we love you today, and we bless you. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. May God bless.